You'd expect right now to hear Chris Klemm's voice after hearing that familiar Chris Klemm's music. But as you can tell, I am not Chris Klemm. My name is Sean Ast. I am the COO of the Lousy Weather Media Network, and I'm filling in for Chris for just 1 second. Chris is traveling really hard to New Orleans. If you can travel hard, I'm sure he's traveling like easy. He's having a good time. He's having fun. He's with Steve Guy, Matt Cain, you know what I mean? His boys and stuff. He's probably traveling easy. He's having fun. But anyway, so Chris is traveling easy to the big easy, New Orleans, for WrestleMania. And as he does from time to time, he likes to talk his wrestling. I know this is his basketball feed, but he does like to mix with the wrestling world from here and there. So this will be a wrestling episode, not a basketball episode. Chris did say he wanted to make sure everyone knew that he was going to be putting up two basketball episodes. I believe he said this week. I might have misunderstood that. You know, sometimes when Chris speaks, I don't clearly understand it all. It might be more me than him. I don't know, but he did say that he's doing episodes, maybe even from New Orleans. Maybe he will be in New Orleans. Like, he'll get on stage with Swoggle and afterwards do an episode and post it. But this episode is a WrestleMania pre-show, WrestleMania preview from our friends in the Wrestling Cheers podcast. It was a co-promotion between Chris Klemm's Cavs Cast, the Wing Cast with Steve Guy, both Lousy Weather Media Network shows, and the Wrestling Cheers podcast, one of the top independent wrestling-focused shows around that has featured, you know, your boy Jordan Patrick from Above Below Entertainment's been on that show before, and, you know, many others just talking independent wrestling. And Chris Klemm has joined before. Steve Guy's joined before. They've done this a bunch of times over the 6 years. Chris Klemm probably will hate this intro, but he gave me the reins to do it, and I did it. This is a episode from the Wrestling Cheers podcast. It's a WrestleMania 34 preview. If you're a fan of Chris, this is pretty much a lot of Chris and Justin from Wrestling Cheers doing their takes and preview, while our man Steve Guy filling his prominent role he likes of moderator of sorts. So from here, I'm going to throw it to your moderator of sorts and check out the Wrestling Cheers podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you get podcasts. You know how to find it. Chris will be back with more basketball. You're not going to hear my voice on this feed probably ever again. But it was fun. So take it away, Wrestling Cheers podcast.
It's the KOQ WrestleMania 34 Roundtable, presented by Wrestling Cheers, Chris Klemm's Cavcast, and the Lousy Weather Media Network. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Guy, Justin Summers, and Chris Klemm.
Daddy's not done yet, so let's rock this fight. Welcome to the WrestleMania Roundtable presented by KOQ. On this wonderful spectacle that is a podcast that gets done once every seemingly 6 years or whatever the case may be, you will hear the wonderful tones of the voice from Justin Summers, a co-host of Wrestling Cheers. Say hello, Justin.
Hello.
And the host of Chris Clem's Cavs Cast from Lousy Weather Media, Chris Clem himself.
What's up, Steve guy?
Yeah, that's me, your moderator of sorts. If you listen to the AIW podcast, the car is going to change.
For the record, you were our moderator of sorts before...
I was, before, yeah. Before AIW. That's true. Before I was the AIW moderator of sorts, I was the WrestleMania roundtable. Can we call it and that? This is can we even say that?
This is the third one we've done, so it's every other year, basically.
Yeah, but we didn't post last year's.
Oh, you're right. What was New York WrestleMania? What year was that? 2012?
Yeah, that sounds right.
No, it was 2013.
We did 2013,
so,
yeah.
Miami was 2012.
So it's still three, technically, in 5 years.
Live from the Funny Stop.
Yeah, at the Funny Stop, live on stage.
Yeah, well, now we're live from Justin's wonderful home.
Right down the street in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
Right here, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
Right by my old place of employment, Stutzman's Buy-Right. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.?
They don't exist. I drove by it, though. Vincent's Bakery still holding strong.
Well, it's some good bakery. So basically what we do is we are three friends, just three dudes. And 1 year we talked about WrestleMania and then we kept saying we'll do it over and over again. And finally, here we are doing it again. We did it last year. We never posted it.
Well, let's explain that because I asked Chris to do an intro.
There was confusion.
Yeah, there was confusion on it.
Don't just put the blame there.
Yeah. Well, I asked him and then there was confusion.
Yes.
And I made sure it was in writing this time. Like,
yeah,
hey.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be up probably in a day or two.
Well, this one probably sounds better since we're all under one roof.
Was the last one on the internet?
Yeah, last one we did on the internet.
Which I will, if anybody wants to hear it, I will post it to the Wrestling Cheers feed just for shits and giggles.
You guys just lucked out that Easter happened to be yesterday.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
And actually, I don't want to get sad, but also that my grandpa died, so it meant a lot for my dad for us to come home.
Just now?
For Easter.
When did he...
My dad's... Die? Dad died in the end of January.
Oh, I thought... Oh, okay. I was like, I know your grandpa died, but I was like... I didn't know if it was on the other side.
This was the first holiday without him.
Oh,
so
okay, right.
My dad really wanted us to come home.
Yeah.
And me and my wife, the only people that came home.
I was trying to say, you were the only ones?
Abby was in Seattle.
Oh, man. Oh, that's right. Attending the Indians games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your brother was home.
He showed up at like 6 p.m. Now I just feel like this will get us off topic. Well, I'm just saying, everything worked out this year, so I was able to be here in person.
All right, excellent. Well, Chris and I are attending this year's WrestleMania in New Orleans. Justin, not going.
No.
Sitting this one out. One was enough for you?
It's in between one being enough and just not having the money. A lot of money has been wrapped up into this wonderful apartment you're in right now.
Yeah,
I was going to say big move is what did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
There's some other personal things, but I won't talk about them right here.
Okay. So basically on this podcast, we talk about the card itself, we make some predictions, talk about what we're excited about, what we think is just going to be a shit show, and that's it, right? It's pretty good synopsis.
Make fun of wrestlers.
Yeah. So we'll get into it. Easy place to start is, well, I think let's just start with the Battle Royals. We have the
Rob Gronkowski Invitational.
The Rob Gronkowski Invitational. Well, yeah, we'll start with the men's. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, a.k.a. the Rob Gronkowski Invitational. Will Rob Gronkowski show up this year? Because there are rumors that he might retire from the NFL.
Yeah, the rumor was he was going to become a wrestler.
Does he show up to win this year?
No, they would promote that. If he was in it.
Could be a surprise.
If it was on the main card. That's true. Shaq was on it 2 years ago, and they didn't even know till his name popped up three people before he walked out.
Yeah.
That was an amazing moment.
They screwed that up live. We were sitting there, and all of a sudden it said Shaq on there, and I was like, why does it say Shaq? And then he came out like 3 minutes later.
Yeah.
But I don't think they showed that on TV.
No, probably not on TV. Live they did. Well, so far announced for this, Dolph Ziggler, Matt Hardy, The Revival, Mojo Rawley, Baron Corbin, Ty Dillinger, and Breezango.
I think Matt Hardy's going to win.
Yeah? Jeff Hardy not yet announced for WrestleMania. Does he just make his way into this?
Yes.
there are a lot of guys not announced yet what they're going to do.
I feel Jeff Hardy, with how popular the Ultimate Deletion's been online and stuff, that from what I read, it's got some of their biggest YouTube hits in a long time. I feel like they're going to put something behind Matt Hardy doing more of that stuff.
So you think he wins this
Battle Royal? This Battle Royal's meaningless enough that winning it has done nothing for the winners.
For anybody. So
they might as well give him a chance to do something weird with it.
Who are the winners so far? We have Cesaro.
Baron Corbin.
Mojo.
In the Big Show.
Big Show did win it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
not
end.
Much of anything. This was like supposed to be Mojo's launching pad last year because Zack Ryder was out injured.
He's been really entertaining when he's gotten a chance to do stuff. More entertaining than I thought he could be. But it didn't have anything to do with the Battle Royal.
What about guys like Bray Wyatt or Elias Samson?
Wyatt's been deleted, man.
Wow. Does he make his comeback into this?
I wouldn't. I would wait for him to come back the next night on Raw.
Samoa Joe? He doesn't have a spot in WrestleMania yet?
If he's been injured. He should win. That's my take.
You think Samoa Joe?
If he's in it.
Your opinion, though, overall is that Matt Hardy picks up the win.
As is now,
Do you think there are going to be any celebrities? I know I start off with Gronkowski, but...
If it's before the show starts, no. If it's in the show, there will be surprise entrants, like when Shaq and DDP and Tatanka were in it.
That was in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What say you, Justin Summers?
Well, I think he's going to win.
Oh, a little bit of everything.
Hulk Hogan?
No.
It could be... Why not, though? That's a fair point.
You only win if he gets to throw a black guy out last.
I think that's steer clear of that.
I just want to see him win and body slam the trophy.
The trophy dies immediately after.
Why not Hulk Hogan winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
Maybe be like
when
Iron Sheik won the gimmick Battle Royal because he couldn't safely be thrown out of the ring.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That could be the situation. I could see that happening.
I don't see him bringing Hogan back. They kind of floated it last week and people at the with Andre the Giant premiere and people seemed to like bite back hard on him.
You think so? Jimmy Hart inducting.
I think they were going to bring him
in because of that.
Yeah, I thought he was going to induct Hillbilly. If he's not doing that, I don't see him at WrestleMania.
All right.
Especially with the interview he gave where he said like Mark Henry's his boy after Mark Henry said he has to apologize to every black wrestler.
Mark Henry quietly retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave that, remember a few years ago, he gave that I'm retiring speech and then he took out John Cena, but then he just quietly retired.
Yeah, that was actually a good moment.
When he pretend retired?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that. I thought because of that, we were going to get a real retirement and we never did. Yeah, I guess Hogan could be your celebrity. I don't, what's big in New Orleans? Nobody's big enough.
There's going to be some Cajun chef that guy in a white
what's
shirt.
His Emeril Lagasse comes out. Like nobody
Anthony Davis.
Right. He's not going to risk that.
Yeah,
obviously.
It's their first playoff series they're going to have in like 5 years.
Yeah,
he's
they're already without Boogie Cousins.
I was thinking the spokeswoman from Popeye's Chicken.
Yeah, sure. No, I can't do that because he's got that KFC conflict of interest there.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Cool. So,
if there's one thing that matters most to WWE, it's their corporate conflicts of interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's nobody big enough from the Saints. Drew Brees is not going to do
it.
Like Jimmy Graham would have been your guy to do it, but he's not
there's
there.
There's no local celebrity. There might be a celebrity, but I think this one's going to be on the pre-show because it just there's nothing behind it.
I mean,
I can't even see it as like a cool down one.
It doesn't have to be a New Orleans celebrity. I mean, Gronkowski was New England.
True.
I think the women's, on the other hand, will be on the card because it seems like a lot of former wrestlers have been training
for it.
So I think that will be like on the card.
Well, even there's actually talks of there being NXT women on there too.
Well, yeah, because where are they going to get 30 that aren't? I mean, they had to bring people in just for the Royal Rumble, and that was with nobody else wrestling on the card.
So then let's just roll right into the fabulous I'm sorry. The women's...
No, the first ever. Just pretend there was not a women's Battle Royal at WrestleMania 25. That one doesn't count.
Well, that was Divas. This is women.
Gotcha. I forgot. Divas are not women. That's why we're able to disrespect them so much.
I don't have a pick, by the way, to win that men's thing. I feel like... I'm just going to say, well, maybe the Revival, because I do like the whole idea of there's a tag team that's going to win it.
I feel like they don't even know who's going to win it. They decide it Sunday
morning.
They're
figuring it out right now. I was going to say Ty Dillinger.
It means that little.
He's someone that they can like be like, look, see, we are doing something with him, and then they could just be like, no, we're not, just kidding. He fits that role.
Kevin Nash comes back to win it.
There you go.
Kurt Hawkins.
I would love that.
That was going to be one of my picks initially. I was like, love for Kurt Hawkins to win this, and that ends the streak.
I feel like
won something back to losing.
Right.
It's more likely to get Kurt Hawkins getting the Andre spot where every other wrestler teams up to throw him out.
Oh, for sure.
That's going to be what happens.
Yeah. All right. So the women's battle royal, big names, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Natalya, pretty much everybody.
I don't know who's going to win, but the last two will be Sasha Banks and Bayley because they're the only ones that they've been doing anything with that are in this match.
You're actually going to roll with that storyline with them doing it?
I feel like that's it. But there'll be a lot of returning in NXT women, which is why it'll be on the main card.
We see Lita in this one come out.
Beth Phoenix. It might be the same ones from the Royal
Rumble. Yeah.
Maybe Ivory this time. Yeah. Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Why not?
Molly Holly's going to be there inducting her. She'll be in it.
Then this probably makes it to the main card.
That's my prediction. This will be like the cool down towards the end of the show.
Yeah, I think this goes main card. Because
then they can be like, we put the women in a big spot, even if it's really like, we put them between the Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar match or
Speaking
whatever.
Of Ronda Rousey, my theory is Shayna Baszler shows up
in
the Women's Battle Royal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think she has a moment with Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Bayley.
Well,
three on one there.
Mm-hmm.
They keep showing in her training videos that that Jessamyn Duke has been training with them the whole time.
She has?
Yeah, she has.
So maybe she pops up in there and they do a little action like that.
I mean, when it comes to that, all the four women have been gearing up for wrestling for at least a year.
Yeah, but in the other one, Marina Shaffer's.
She had a baby.
Roddy Strong's baby.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not like she's not connected to wrestling, but exactly. She hasn't been training, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think I seen Duke well over a year ago, like maybe something like a video on Instagram where she was in a wrestling room. I'm like, oh, so this is going to be coming. Okay.
Yeah, they all were training. Mm-hmm. But those three have all, or she's been down in Florida like recently with them.
Yeah, I just Jessamyn don't know. Jessamyn Duke,
like they're not like highlighting her, but on like the stuff they've been posting of mm-hmm. them training at the Performance Center, she's like right there standing on the ring apron.
She doesn't have that name.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's why I don't, they're not
attachment.
Highlighting
it. Yeah, for her to like be.
But when they need it to be like the two sides fight, she'll be able. Mm-hmm. She might not be in this,
she could be a name that they like put they just Summer put Slam. In to start it,
yeah,
and you don't really know that she's there until you have like the 3-on-2 standoff, and then if you're watching at home you'll hear them putting over, oh, it's this the yeah, four horsewomen and four horsewomen,
and then they beat them, and then it's like, oh, they need to even up the numbers. So
yeah, and we go into this whole thing. Yeah, I could see. Well, is Tamina injured right now?
Yes.
Is that what's going on there? This is a great spot for her to win it. Tamina Snuka to win.
I say just, but it was a couple months
ago. And she's had a lot of surgeries. I'm trying to remember
like
whether
44.
Mother too.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a Bella returning.
Oh.
That wins it.
Oh. Nikki Bella wins. I don't know. She'd probably be in it though.
Nikki or Brie come both. Back to win this.
Nikki wins, LOL.
Yep. So
man, it helps. Cena's got that magic sperm.
From there.
Speaking of which, congratulations to Miz and Maryse.
Yeah, they had their beautiful baby. We'll get more into the Miz's match later, but yeah, congrats to them.
We need to just plow through these before people stop listening.
Yep,
like, nobody
sorry.
Cares about the Battle Royals.
Here we go. Moving on to the Cruiserweight Championship, Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali. For that, we turn to our 205 Live expert, Chris Clem.
Thanks, Steve. This is an intriguing matchup between two fan favorites, Cedric Alexander from Charlotte, North Carolina, versus the former Chicago police officer Mustafa Ali. Who will win? My prediction is the fans, because both of these guys have a lot of support. Back to you, Steve.
Well, there you have it. I think that's an accurate assessment. It will definitely be the fans. A little biased here. I'm pulling for Cedric Alexander. Having to get to spend quality time with him during his AIW days, his moments on the Independence, specifically here in Cleveland. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I'll go with Cedric Alexander.
Nobody's been watching them, but Mustafa Ali has really been putting in a ton of work, making promos on his own and posting them on social media, and they've been great.
Yeah, watch.
But
them,
I still think they'll probably just have Cedric win, since it looked like he was going to before Enzo got fired.
Yeah, but that ruined a lot of things, didn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It seemed like Cedric Alexander, even before that, was just had a trajectory of the title.
Yeah.
And then obviously that just derailed it.
It's weird, because I think right now Mustafa's been doing better work lately, but I feel like they're not going to deviate from it, and it'll be Cedric for now. And it's not his fault. He kind of got cooled off by what happened, but it makes a good guy wrestler look like a loser when they're in a position to get their big moment and it's taken away, and then they kind of just hold off on it. It's not really his fault, though.
They got to find a way to make it bigger. You can't just give the good guy the title.
Exactly.
You can hand a bad guy a title.
But they haven't really made it about him. It's been more about like revitalizing the show. So it hasn't really done what it should have. But that's what happens when they make this much TV. So whatever.
All right. So let's get into the tag team championships. We'll start with the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. It is the Usos, your current champions, taking on the New Day. And then also throwing into the mix the Bludgeon Brothers, FKA the Wyatt family.
Bludgeon Brothers, that's only they're winning, right? I don't even see how it would be a question.
That's my thought. Like, how do you just have them plow through everybody?
Yeah,
and then,
they've had this build.
This is the way that you can have them lose when you put them in a triple threat tag match, and you can save face with what they're doing in terms of dominating everyone.
But at the same time, that you have them beat two teams, that also helps them make them look more dominant the Usos, who've been around a long time, and the New Day, who've been around a couple years together, but collectively, even just singles, long time, helps build them. I would go with the Bludgeon Brothers, but I also feel like there's like half the titles could change, but there's no way in hell they are.
I think you guys, well, you're wrong on that. I think you're both right in that this is a triple threat where it actually makes sense, because then you can say, oh, these two teams both have a reason to be against the Bludgeon Brothers, so maybe they won't win, but also they'll look even better by beating both of them. And there's no way you would put them in the spot if they weren't going to win, because that would just make what they've done the last 2 months just seem like another meaningless WWE thing. But by the time I finished that sentence, I realized that that could very well be what they do.
Should Bray Wyatt just return from the lake and just be with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan and shift over to SmackDown now and helps them win?
Could be. It's WWE. Don't look for logic.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that goes. I'll say Bludgeon Brothers because of that. But again, I definitely feel like this is the kind of position you put them in where, you know, we could keep them strong if they don't take the pin.
They actually look different from all their other tag teams after the last pay-per-view with that beatdown, because it looked not bad in the cool way. It looked bad and like, oh, it looks bad legitimately. Not like, oh, look at they smashed the table and stuff. Like, it looked more brutal, even if it wasn't, than a lot of them. So I feel like they actually have a unique thing. So hopefully they win in a logical way and they don't overthink it.
Do they just come out riding hammers? Was that their WrestleMania entrance?
Riding hammers?
Yeah.
They should get tricycles, like those motorcycle tricycles that just have like they just shaped like a hammer.
I was thinking, is there a way to have them come out with some sort of Thor attire?
Right. But that's not what they are.
It's WrestleMania. They're people come out different.
The worst thing about them is that they look like they have one of those indie Kane ripoff outfits.
Yeah. Speaking of entrances, and guys have had great ones, do you anticipate the New Day having one of the better entrances again for the entire show as they come out for this match?
I don't know, because they're not the hosts, a.k.a. talk for 5 minutes of the
show. Yeah, but they came out of the big
cereal box
the 1 year.
I don't know. I'm kind of over the New Day. I like them more individually than I do it as a team at this point.
So. Oh, man, I still love the team.
I've been over them for a while, though.
Yeah, big fan of the team.
I don't know what kind of they could have.
Well, they always come up with crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's true. They do come up with a lot of great ideas. Yeah. No, I say great ideas. Things are just the, all right, we're done with this, we're going to move on to this, and they do that for a while and it gets over. Is there a way for them to come out a big pancake stack?
Yeah, I hope not. The pancake thing is really where I was like, I've had enough of this.
They may actually have to scale back their entrance because of what you just said. So if the Bludgeon Brothers are going to, this is how you'll know, going into WrestleMania thing, if the New Day does not have a huge, insanely over-the-top entrance, I think they'll have a fun entrance. But if it's not too ridiculous, the Bludgeon Brothers are winning.
I think
if it's super ridiculous, then fans are going to catch on to it, and now that's over again.
I don't think that's necessarily big, because I think the way they program things is all that they think they'll be like, oh, the Bludgeon Brothers will win, but they won't remember the New Day lost. They'll remember their cool entrance.
Yeah, that's fair too.
I don't know. Maybe they'll come out as amiibos, and then they can set them on the stage, and then they can like move away, and they're actually underneath them. I was trying to think of some video game related you could do on a stage, and all I could think about was those, because what else? Everything else would just be a video.
Yeah. Well, one of the more intriguing matchups of the evening is the Raw Tag Team Championships, which, as it stands right now, is The Bar, Cesaro, and Sheamus taking on Braun Strowman and a partner to be named. Thoughts?
It's Braun and whoever, right? That's my prediction. They have to be winning.
You would think they have to win. Yeah. Who do you think his partner is going to be? Anybody?
Samoa Joe.
Elias.
My thought's been Elias this entire time.
I thought so too, but then I read something last night that said The Rock is going to be doing a segment with Elias. That's like the rumor now.
Which would mean that
that would depending be like its on its own thing, not yeah. like him in a match.
Okay.
Be like a callback to, what was it, WrestleMania 8 with Rhythm and Blues?
Yeah.
Smashed up by the Bushwhackers. Is that 7? One of them. Or 6. One of those at a stadium.
Well, if that's the case, I still love... again, Kurt Hawkins, him that winning this and the streak ending, because he's been wearing t-shirts that say, pick me, Braun. Love that. I'd be a big fan of that. And then, like, Braun Strowman just never tags him in, but they still somehow win. I like it.
And then like, he celebrates like crazy.
Yeah, he just goes nuts. Like, that could be the new... They could essentially be the new Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That people... Some people hated, but some people loved it. And just, for some reason, it worked, though. It clicked with people, and then either drove you nuts like it was supposed to, or people were super on board.
That could be very entertaining, and that could be a way to keep Braun's... not have Braun in the title scene, but still have him a part of the show each week in a big way.
Yeah. And even if he like knocks out Hawkins during matches.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
But Hawkins stays on his team anyway because like he's a champion.
Like he punches him and throws him out of the ring and then just wrestles the rest of the match by himself.
Like Hawkins tries to make a cover and Braun just literally picks him up. I would love it. That's who I want.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think we're all in agreement it's Braun Strowman and whoever, right?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of who is that person.
That could be actually, this could be one of the either most anticlimactic or highlights of the show, just depending on what they do.
I think it's got to be a highlight, right? Because obviously Braun Strowman's super strong, but so too are Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah, but I'm saying just depending on who the partner.
Yeah. Partner's probably never getting tagged in.
Kind of going slightly off topic, but going with tag teams of the past two matches, Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania, do we see one of the NXT tag teams come up? Because I think...
Oh, Braun and his partner versus like the Authors of Pain would be pretty interesting.
Exactly.
Or them versus the Bludgeon Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if they're going to do Sanity. I thought at first because it seemed like they were dying down on them, but I know they're in the tag tournament.
Yeah, they are. I don't know. Do you think one of those tag teams coming up the day after WrestleMania? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah, I would say maybe Sanity and the Authors of Pain, one debuts on the other. I would say Sanity versus Bludgeon Brothers because then Authors of Pain, not the same type of gimmick, but it could be a similar thing.
I was thinking Sanity more Raw because I'm thinking Braun versus Killian Dane.
Yeah, but I was just more like, they're not going to necessarily think this way, but what would be like, what I like to see out of a feud, the same versus same is usually less interesting. And plus Killian Dane's like 5'10", so that's actually going to make him look worse going up against Braun.
He's
not very tall.
No,
you see him next to guys.
He's at least like 6 foot or something because we've seen him at AIW.
I'm actually trying to pull up a picture. I have a picture with him and I will be a gauge because I'm about 6 foot.
Yeah, I want to say he's six. I know he's taller than
maybe
I am.
I'm underrating him, but he looks small. He looks huge, and then you see him next to a guy who's not necessarily look that big and he looks short.
Yeah, he's definitely a thick guy.
And if Braun's like a legit 6'6 from his powerlifting days, so yeah, he would make him look tiny.
I know, I'm like 5'10, 5'11. Killian Dane taller than me when I met him. Definitely larger than me in general.
Did he have wrestling gear and stuff on?
No, this is when we were just chilling beforehand. Not much taller than me, but taller than me. That's why I was thinking he's like 6'1 maybe.
He's listed at 6'4, so I'm gonna go with 6'1.
It could be. He may have been taller than that. He might have been 6'2. 6'2, yeah.
I guess either way, he doesn't look like a monster in terms of height when you see him against
a tall guy. No, if you see him standing next to Braun Strowman,
I'd say about 6'2.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks very slightly bigger than you in that picture.
And he looks like he's leaning. He's a down. Little bit, yeah. So I'd say about 6'2.
All right. I give him that.
All right.
But that was much like when everybody used to say when The Miz was champ, how short he was. And then he did a segment with John Cena and was like an inch and a half taller than him.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be one of those things where when he comes up, he's going to look like, oh, like he still could be an impressive guy. I just say more against straight up against Braun Strowman. It'll be like, oh, he's not that big.
Kind of like Apollo.
Yeah. Well, he's. Yeah.
Apollo looks big, but then you put him against certain wrestlers. Like, yeah, you're kind of. It's like tall.
Titus looks like a foot taller than him. I know he's not actually, but I'm saying when they walk out.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that I could also see Braun Strowman starting this match by himself, and then Samoa Joe comes out at some point just because he wants to be a part of WrestleMania, and this is his whole thing of being selfish, and he basically like tags himself in, and he somehow gets the win, and then we've got this Samoa Joe Braun Strowman feud lit again.
That would be a good way.
But they're tag team champions, you know, a la any other tag team.
MVP and Matt Hardy.
Yeah, or like, you know, you go back Austin and The Undertaker feuding with their champs.
That's a WWE go-to story.
Yeah, exactly. So that could be a thought.
The tag team of partners that hate each other.
Yes, exactly.
See, I was thinking if they did do with like Elias, you would actually have Elias possibly cost Braun to win the match, and that would continue on their rivalry just a little while longer.
It could be. The options are open. They're there.
There's been zero hints
of who it's going to be.
If they could do a thing with Elias and The Rock, I would just do that, because that would help him in the long run much more.
Yeah.
Because he's a character guy from the way it's going now, so he might as well just stick with that.
He's already that tweener guy.
Yeah.
He's already that guy where, as try as he might, they're still having him say, well, let them say walk with Elias.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why are you making him do that? But then he says, I hate all of you afterwards. It doesn't add up. It's fine.
I don't know. He's got potential, I think.
He's a great crowd worker.
Oh, yeah.
That's sure. One of the differences between, like, and I know everybody loves his promos, but, like, Bray Wyatt, he's got quite a dramatic flair, but his promo is like him. It could be no crowd there or any crowd there. Whereas Elias is like the opposite. Even if he's got a script to come out, I don't know if he feels more comfortable having that guitar in front of him or what, but he's just, like, fearless about that.
Yeah. So, next one we'll roll to is the U.S. Championship. Randy Orton, your current champion, Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, and making his way into it, WrestleMania officially becomes Rusev Day.
Well, it is Rusev Day.
It's Rusev Day right now.
Happy Rusev Day.
Thank you.
Rusev is not winning. That's my only prediction. If you promote a match for 2.5 weeks and then add a guy to it, it's safe to say that guy's not winning.
He's that classic person right now where he doesn't need to.
Yeah.
You don't need to put a belt or a title, say, on him at all.
I mean, maybe it's a different circumstance, but we did watch a match at WrestleMania last year that was promoted between three different teams and none of them won.
True, but it was a little different.
It was Hardy Boys.
Yeah. And it was also like,
it was a team that had
they kind of were hitting there could be like a surprise. This is more like, oh, we've been doing this over the last 2 months with these people, and then this guy's popular, so let's just put him in it.
I'd love to see Rusev win, though.
He might, maybe for one time, like that Zack Ryder win the IC title.
I mean, he's been the U.S. champion before.
Yeah, it's more like Rusev used to have this rocket strapped to him, and then they kind of killed him off, like most people that have a feud with John Cena, and now he's getting people behind him again.
He does a great job getting people behind him, and Aiden English really helps that out, too.
Yeah, and somebody I know told me this week that he used to be best friends with Aiden English and sent me a picture.
Oh, how about that?
Well, he said it ended weird, so I can't wait to find out more when I get home.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. I kind of think Bobby Roode gets it back here. We just roll back with that.
I was what my prediction was going
to
be.
I'm going Rusev, maybe to help balance things out from some of his shittier WrestleManias.
Hey, my heart is with Rusev.
I think Bobby Roode's going to win, and then Orton's going to feud with Jinder afterwards, and Roode will feud with another guy coming up from NXT.
Are we done with the whole Jinder Mahal is a main eventer in WWE?
I think. Well,
is that already gone?
For now.
Yeah.
His JBL run, much shorter.
Yeah, I was about to say JBL had a much longer run.
Yeah. But it was that JBL was always kind of a role player.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's thrusted into this new position. And that's basically what they do with Jinder Mahal. And it's like, oh, okay.
Also, yeah, but if you can't have great matches with AJ Styles, then that kind of hurts you more than anybody else.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the biggest thing with Jinder is he went from being a jobber to main event. At least with JBL, he didn't go from Justin Hawk Bradshaw to world champion.
Yeah,
there was at least the APA in the middle.
He went from like mid-card guy, whereas Jinder Mahal went from being fired to the champion in like 3 months, it felt like.
Yeah, if only 3MB could get back together.
Yeah, if somebody would have said, out of all the people in 3MB, which one is going to win the WWE championship, he would have been my last pick. For sure.
Which, I guess going back to that, does Heath Slater leave Rhino? Maybe he becomes Braun Strowman's tag team partner. I don't know.
Heath Slater has that weird charisma. Like,
he does. It's a good dude, man.
I mean, what was it even in the Royal Rumble? People are chanting, he's got kids. He's like one of those old school character baby face type guys that's got enough weird charisma now that they bring him out and people get excited for a little bit, and that's
it. The next match, like, we'll, the Killer Bees, we're going to, comes from Raw, the Intercontinental Championship. The Miz, your current champion, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor. I think this is one of the ones I'm actually looking forward to, even though typically WrestleMania, I don't like these multi-man things, but I think that this is going to be pretty stellar. The Miz is, over the last decade plus, I guess, that he's been there.
Yeah, since like 2006.
Like, he delivers in these kind of matches.
And he's a good glue guy to keep like a multi-man match going.
Yep. Yeah.
Because the stuff he did with Jericho and AJ Styles when he first came was really good.
Right. And I think you can have some crazy stuff with Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. And then there's going to be Miz to play that heel role and just ground the match. You know, literally put it back on the ground in terms of these guys flying all over the place.
Yeah.
I think the more interesting thing to me is Seth Rollins going to get his own backup like Finn Balor and The Miz?
Is The Shield going to come out? Do we see the return?
I would say maybe just like Dean Ambrose.
Is Dean Ambrose ready to return?
I was going
to
say that. That was another name I've heard for a possible tag partner with Braun.
Dean Ambrose?
I forgot about Dean, yeah.
Well, even if he's not ready to return, he could at least come out and be Seth's backup.
Yeah, he could be beating up guys on
the
outside.
Or if he's close to returning enough that he could do that.
I kind of think this match is a setup for a potential SummerSlam match between The Shield and some version of the Balor Club.
Yeah, because we've only seen the Balor Club sort of, right? Like, they come out, they walk with him, then they go back. Because they're still babyface. So Finn Balor's got to go one-on-one against people.
Mm.
Or then they come running out to help him out later on. So if that's the case, do we see them help Finn Balor win?
Yes, I think
they're
going to be out the entire time. And maybe that could be the angle they go where they're heels and Finn Balor isn't.
They do all the heel stuff and Balor does not?
Yes.
Because you still got, obviously, the Miztourage, that going on.
I think a big question is going to also be what's going to happen after WrestleMania. I'm wondering if what happens if AJ Styles loses the title, he comes back to Raw. Because you have to have eventually at some time, whether it be this year, next year, or whenever, every former member of Bullet Club together for the Balor Club. And
you have to.
I don't know. They've teased it.
Yeah. Because you also.
It's been a while, but
AJ Styles is not going to go into something called the Balor Club.
Here's an update for you right now.
Uh oh.
Seth Rollins won on Raw, so Finn Balor is going to win on Sunday. That's my prediction.
Did they have a triple threat?
It was just him, Seth versus Finn.
Because The Miz is at home with his child.
No, The Miz was there.
He's there.
But either way, since he's the guy that took the loss, usually their booking's predictable enough that that's the person that ends up winning.
For the record, we are recording this during Raw for listeners' sake.
And also, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, the Women's Battle Royal, and the Cruiserweight Championship are all going to be on the pre-show.
Both Battle Royals?
Yes.
All right.
Nothing too exciting will happen there.
No. I still think you see that Shayna.
You'll see, I think, exciting thing with the women. I don't know about the men. That's where it's...
Yeah, I imagine the men's will be the very first thing now.
Yeah.
The Cruiserweight in between than the women's.
Was the Battle Royal pre-show last year?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Maybe Zack Ryder wins this year.
There was Austin Aries versus Neville and then the men's Battle Royal.
Which is...
Where'd they go?
Part of why Austin Aries and Neville both left.
Yeah, because Austin Aries was mad about his payout.
So was Neville.
Well, yeah, I guess they both were mad for the same reason.
Because they weren't even included on the DVD, which gets you more money.
Yeah, even though they were promoted the whole time as it was going to be on WrestleMania, and then they put them on the pre-show that day and then didn't even put them on the DVD.
I thought they were one of the best matches.
Oh, yeah, they were.
I thought Aries said it wasn't that. It was something else.
Well,
maybe.
He was probably saying...
His fiance still works for them.
Yeah.
I think we've learned from the past that if you upset them while your significant other works there, it doesn't make your life there very easy.
Yeah, it's fair.
Just based on the stuff that AJ said after the whole CM Punk thing.
So we say Finn Balor, your new Intercontinental Champion.
No, I say Miz retains.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I actually think this is a perfect scenario for The Miz not to retain because he can go spend time with his newborn child.
I think there's no way The Miz wins, personally.
I think he probably doesn't want to.
I didn't even think about that.
He's
going to
be gone for like 2 months, I bet.
Yeah, probably wants to go home, spend time with Maurice and the baby now.
That's my
call. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Let him be gone.
I'd rather see him hold on for a little while longer.
If he does win, he's going to lose the next night. That would be my prediction.
Yeah, that could
I was thinking either the next night or at the next pay-per-view.
I think he's still going to be... I don't think after Monday he's done for a while.
He could win at WrestleMania.
And lose on Raw.
And then lose on Raw. It could be he wins at WrestleMania and then next night on Raw he loses to Finn Balor.
Yeah.
You know, for the club versus Miztourage kind of thing going down. I could see that.
If they did something like that, he could theoretically go home and just come back for the pay-per-view match.
Yeah.
But whatever. That's not even WrestleMania at this point. Now we're talking about what Miz is doing with his baby.
Well, the Miz and the baby thing, that's a good point.
Because
I wasn't even thinking, hey,
especially because
he just
posted some picture, the kids at home now and everything like that.
Yeah, the three of them together. Yeah. Sure. So, speaking of women, the Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax. This seems like it's easy. How does Nia Jax walk out of this without winning?
I don't know. How many times times has she been in a match like this and lost?
Yeah.
If Nia Jax doesn't win, WWE has to end the Be a Star program immediately.
With all these promos, with the way the storyline has gone, I would agree. Yeah. Like, it can't be we all love Nia, including Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
And then, like, nah, let's make her be that person.
If she doesn't win, I think they're more aware of how these things are perceived now. So I would say it's not a question anymore, but they still have constantly shown in the past, just when it's so obvious, with Triple H basically saying everything besides the N-word to Booker T and then still beating him. You never know with these people.
It's a reference of the show.
You knew that reference is going to come at some point. You can't talk about WrestleMania without Chris Klem bringing that up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why don't we just call Nia like a fat pile and then have her lose? Like, it's the same type of thing. If you're going to get to that personal type of insulting, whether it's racism or what would it be, like body shaming,
I guess. Yeah.
WWE has shown they're clueless, but I would like to think that they're a little more aware of how things work in society overall in 2018 than they were in 2004.
Yeah.
Triple H's
name on the women's battle royal.
If Triple H was in this match, she would lose, but he's not. So I think we should be okay.
So,
and then he said, I'm not talking about fat people. I'm talking about people who worked in WCW. Because that's what they were known for in WCW. Shucking and jiving was a common thing used to describe. I guess he was talking about Disco Inferno and Alex Wright. That's such a reach for whatever. It is making me mad now. I'm going to use all this coded racial language, and then when people get upset, I'm going to say, the angle's about WCW. How didn't you get that, you dumb marks?
So Nia Jax is what we say. I agree.
I'll disagree.
You think they're going to go through all this, and then it's going to be Alexa and Mickie James being jerks again?
I think it's going to be Mickie that's going to help Alexa win.
So, yeah,
but the title change will happen later. Because it's like I was saying, I think a lot of the titles could change. How many titles? What's been the most title changes at a WrestleMania?
I think all but one.
Yeah.
How long ago?
Last year there was what, four?
Last year Orton is a title change.
Orton was a title change.
Lesnar is a title change.
The Raw Tag Team Championship was a title change.
Yeah.
The women's was not. Bayley retained it.
Yeah.
What was the other?
Naomi matches? Was. That was SmackDown. She won it back.
She won it
because she was
out
with injury.
There's four right there.
Who was the Intercontinental Champion?
The Miz, but he wasn't in a title match.
Okay, yeah, right. It was not defended.
Tag match.
U.S. Champion was a change. Yeah. That was Jericho and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, so that's five there. So they clearly have not shied away from changing most of the titles before.
Who was the SmackDown Champion? Oh,
no,
yeah,
I'm
we
sorry.
Said
Dean Ambrose was the Intercontinental Champion, and he retained it in the pre-show.
That's right.
But that's still five title changes. So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So there you have it, folks. And I think the tag team, SmackDown tag team, was a title change. For me, that's
point is
anyway. Five is a lot. Even
if Nia loses,
even if it's five out of seven.
WWE's little charity stuff's gonna look real worse now than it look like more of a publicity stunt than it already does.
The argument for Nia keeping it, I would say,
Alexa. You mean?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Alexa keeping it goes into the next match, the SmackDown Women's Title, where I think, how do you not have a title change? Charlotte versus Asuka.
Yeah, it's got to be Asuka.
Yeah, right? I would say they're both locks, but I mean, there's no way Asuka's losing.
And this also helps because if the long-term plan is for Charlotte Flair to be the 16-time women's champion, she should be there another 2 years because that's pretty much how it works.
I figured a bigger plan would be Asuka versus Ronda.
Yeah, isn't that the rumor now for next year?
Yeah.
But Ronda's on Raw. Asuka's going to be on SmackDown.
It doesn't
now.
Matter. Asuka's on Raw now and Charlotte's on SmackDown and she's wrestling for
so
the
you have
SmackDown
Ronda
title.
Win the Women's Royal Rumble next year somehow?
If you think about how they're going to book it, it doesn't matter because they can do whatever they want and
well,
change
you could
whatever
also,
rules
yeah, the
now.
Superstar shake up.
Yeah.
There'll be all sorts of things.
And they could also do, hey, Ronda, what title do you want to go for?
Yeah, there's so many different ways they could get to it. If you're just going to say, well, hey, they've already shown they don't care about what makes consistent sense. So.
Is this one of the better matches on the card?
Maybe.
On paper, yeah.
Yeah, certainly from a hype build, right?
Mm-hmm.
Asuka, who hasn't lost in 2.5 years of being there or whatever.
It'll be better than Charlotte the other Flair. Women's match by a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be interesting. So then from there, we go into One of our first fun tag team matches of the night. Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win. They get to come back to SmackDown. They lose. They're gone.
Well, they have to win then, right?
Have to lose.
Shane has diverticulitis.
Right.
They're going to lose.
So does Shane even make it? If Shane doesn't make it to WrestleMania, who's Daniel Bryan's tag team partner?
J-E-double-F.
No, J-A. I'd say if Shane doesn't make it to WrestleMania, they do a thing where he gets beat up backstage and then it's 1-on-2.
And Daniel Bryan wins and the Yes Movement happens all over again?
I mean, I would think you'd have to win, but that could be their way of being like, now people won't question why he lost.
Daniel Bryan wins 1-on-2 yet again in New Orleans?
I would say he loses in situation.
Okay.
I would say it makes more sense for Daniel Bryan and maybe a potential fill-in tag team partner win because they're just off SmackDown. We're about to have a roster shakeup anyway. Oh, you don't have anywhere to go? Let's... Here, you can come to Raw. We just signed you, quote
yeah,
unquote.
I mean, I get that, but I think if they were going to have a mystery partner, they would have already built an angle for it.
Plus, you can do if Daniel Bryan wins, but then now he's a competitor again, not a GM. The new GM could say, I want. Now you can, you know, you've had a babyface GM and president on SmackDown for so long, now you can bring in somebody who's a heel, and then in they come.
Yeah.
According to Twitter, as of 2 minutes ago, SmackDown Live Commissioner Shane McMahon will return tomorrow night on SmackDown.
All right. Sounds like he might make it there. Or he'll announce that he's not going to be there.
I feel like they would have done that last week when they announced the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's why he threw out that caveat. If Shane McMahon can make it and is healthy enough.
You know, with a lot of time with this kind of shit, it's just week to week. Like, let's see where we are next week.
Yeah, I would say diverticulitis sounds like something that you go week to week with.
Well, the thing is with that, people reference like Brock Lesnar. Well, Brock Lesnar was like legitimately competing. So Shane could still come out, stand on the ring apron, take some punches, fall down a few times.
But he can't be Shane McMahon. That's why you don't put him in that match. You don't put Shane McMahon in a match to have him just stand on the apron, take a few punches and fall down.
And not jump off something.
Yeah. Not go through a table. Nah, that's not happening, buddy. Shane O'Mac's either all in or he's not in at all.
Yep.
So
it doesn't matter anymore, though, because Daniel Bryan's in it. So Shane McMahon doesn't have to be Shane McMahon.
And also,
for fans to be into it.
For Daniel Bryan to be coming back on a very convenient announcement leading up this close to WrestleMania, that's why I think that's another reason why they have to win. You don't have him return to WrestleMania, the exact place he won the title, not to win.
Or do you? I mean, might as well. He returned. That's what you want out of it. You wanted the hype of him returning, not the hype of him winning.
Yeah, I don't think they care if he wins or not, like, from that angle.
But I will go back to the flip side of the coin of you don't need Zayn and Owens to win.
You don't need anybody to win this match. That's why it's kind of not as exciting as it should be.
So you're saying
you don't need this match.
So you're saying it's going to be a draw?
No, but I'm just saying
you don't need anybody to win. They're both.
You would
lose.
Think a match with Daniel Bryan being in it would be much more exciting, but they've kind of been doing this angle for so long, and with Shane's health problems and all this.
I think this will be exciting.
It'll be good when it happens, but I'm just saying I can't act like it's that interesting.
I would have been more excited for Daniel Bryan to finally confront The Miz.
Yeah, I'm more excited for that.
We get an end to that.
I'm hoping that's WrestleMania next year.
That would be
because
huge.
Also you can play into, even though they would never do it, probably go back to NXT of that was Daniel Bryan's pro.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. It's been the best long-term built angle over like 6 years at this point.
Yeah, I mean, The Miz even being sarcastic when Daniel Bryan announced that he was coming back. Oh yay. Daniel Bryan's wrestling again.
I mean, I will say that's even how that NXT episode started off with those two.
Yeah I'm just saying that if you told people 5 years ago that Kevin Steen and El Generico and we'll be going up against Bryan Danielson in a WrestleMania match, it would seem like it would be super exciting, but I feel like when it happens.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, it doesn't even, I forgot it was on the card, honestly, till you brought it up.
Yeah, the build is kind of, but the match is going to be pretty solid because you have those three involved with each other.
I think you could even throw in the hypothetical back then of Shane McMahon.
Yeah, that would
because
be it would
have been like, what? Shane McMahon came back too?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
They signed those guys and Shane McMahon, like, what? And they put him with them? Like, why? Yeah, it all sounds crazy. And that's also why it's like disappointing that it's not like one of the most anticipated matches. But I feel with the outside stuff and the fact that they've been doing this basically since what seems like last WrestleMania.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
So the other...
This isn't Hogan versus Sting. This is like if Sting was on TV every week and faced off against Hulk Hogan each week and they still dragged it out for a year.
So then we roll into the other odd pairing tag match. Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle versus Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. And I think the obvious thing here is, isn't everybody disappointed that Kurt Angle isn't The Rock?
I mean, I guess, but it's kind of cool to actually have a legitimate, like, Olympic, like, they're not even playing this up.
They're both Olympians. Yeah, they're both Olympians.
It should be much more than it is. Yeah. This is another thing where I think, like, when you watch this WrestleMania 10 years from now, it could have the potential to be, like, one of the best from top to bottom, but it's just not that exciting as it should be if you told somebody what the matches were.
Because I look at these names, I'm like, man, a lot of these matches have potential to be really fun to watch, like, the card in general.
Yeah.
I thought being there live last year was great with the matches.
It was awesome.
And I think that this...
They were better than expected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this on paper, as I look at these matchups, blows that away.
Oh, this on paper could be like WrestleMania 17 where people talk about it like 13 years, like even if they're just beat expectations. But the weird thing is those matches aren't necessarily that great either per se, but that was like one of the most exciting builds for an entire WrestleMania. Whereas this, it's like, I feel like if WrestleMania was a month and a half ago, it'd be more exciting because the last couple weeks, it seems like they've just been like stretching.
Yeah.
Stretching. They're
like, well, we already told you what's going to be, and we kind of warned that out.
Their creative process from doing this much TV at this point has never been more exposed by having a WrestleMania that's this stack not seem as exciting as it could.
Since I have Chris here, I don't know, I wonder if you agree with me on this or not. As much as I'm looking forward to WrestleMania, it pales in comparison to the hype of Infinity War.
Yeah, because it would be like if...
I would even agree with that.
Yeah, it'd be like if every week on TV you saw a new trailer for Infinity War. At this point, God, you would have seen like an hour of the movie and you wouldn't even care that much.
Yeah,
true.
That's why the worst thing that's happened to WWE, I love the WWE Network, so I'm not even talking about that, but Raw being 3 hours and then SmackDown the next night.
Oh, yeah.
It's like beating somebody over the head with like, you love this, don't you?
Yeah.
If I saw Thanos 4 times a week, I wouldn't be too excited for Infinity War either.
They at least have stuck with the brand split so that previously what you're getting basically, you know, you had Monday Night Raw and then SmackDown was Raw recap and you're watching the same thing again and the match is just in a different way. It's like, what the hell, man? So at least we're getting
Is still light years beyond how that was. Yeah. Right.
I knew people back then who used to call it Dire Raw, SmackDown.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's really what it was. It was like, oh, remember that match on Raw? Well, here's highlights of it.
You could time like 22 minutes of the show was highlights from Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also be like, oh, there was that match on SmackDown. They're going to have a rematch now, and now it's going to mean something.
In Infinity War, it's also like a build for 10 years.
Yeah, that's the other big thing. Because I've had people question me like, what, you're looking more forward to Infinity War? And I'm like, well, it's a 10-year build. That's like...
Yeah, we're getting everybody together.
That's like back to WrestleMania 24.
I feel like that's something wrestling could get from the way they promote their movies. You watch those trailers. Let's say even the last trailer for Black Panther. There's nothing in that trailer that goes beyond like the 35-minute mark of this movie. And I'm sure, based on what I imagine would have to be the structure of the movie, that the Infinity War trailer is still showing things from close to the climax of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not. But the point is, it's just enough to whet my appetite and want even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they kind of tried to do this with Brock Lesnar and make it more of a special attraction, but it's not the same when you have this much going on. Your appetite has been whetted, you've been stuffed, you've had thirds and fourths, and at this point it hurts to even try to think about eating anything else.
And that's kind of what they try to do with Daniel Bryan by not bringing, I mean, they've known for a while, you know, he wasn't just suddenly cleared. Yeah.
Why does Shane needed a partner the whole time? Like,
right, yeah. You know, and there was that back and forth, will they, won't they, whatever the case may be. So they try to with that. And then, of course, the rumored / confirmed match that
as of
we
this
will
recording,
get to,
yeah,
that we will get to down the road. You know, they did it with that, too. Now, here, going back to this, Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon. I think we all know Triple H is winning this match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can never question that.
I think he's not only going to pin Kurt, but he's going to put Ronda on there too. And he's just going to stand over and put 1 foot over. 1, 2, 3, the end.
And then he's going to come out the next night on Raw and talk about how it proves definitively forever that WWE is better than all MMA has ever been.
And then I hope to pour salt in the wound. He replays WrestleMania. Was that 32 or is it 31?
I'm not giving you hints.
I'll just go to Walmart and buy the figures.
It's 31.
Was it 31?
San Jose. Or Santa Clarita, technically.
Yeah. It's Clara. Santa Clara.
Santa Clara?
Yeah. Santa Clarita is just that Netflix show with Drew Barrymore.
Oh, is it?
The Santa Clarita diet.
I haven't even heard of that. Shows what I know about Netflix. I watch Frasier on that.
Yeah, I watch Cheers, so I'm not to Frasier yet. I got to get through Cheers, and then I'll roll over to Frasier. Unless Ronda Rousey, of course, destroys Stephanie McMahon.
If Triple H wins, and I know I've said this before, but I'm always shocked by how clueless the WWE can be. If Triple H wins, I can't say I will get rid of the network because I like listening to Tony Schiavone's podcast and when they watch the old pay-per-views. But I might just drop it to like every 3 months and then listen to all those in that month and then watch Thunder during that time or whatever. But I've already pretty much only gone, all I watch now are the pay-per-views, 205 Live, and once a month I'll watch Raw and Hulu. If Triple H somehow wins this match, I think I will not watch any WWE programming for a long time.
I think this has to be a moment similar to last year with the Triple H match. He's obviously, I can't say obviously going to lose, but it makes more sense for him to lose, especially when I feel like everything with Ronda is at stake.
If he doesn't lose, not only does he need to lose, they need to get their ass whipped.
And
match is long and Stephanie doesn't get destroyed, I seriously probably won't turn it on again until next January.
Yeah. Last year he lost to Seth Rollins, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right. Takes that out.
Stephanie got taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even like Ronda Rousey. I'm just saying.
Right. Year before that, he loses to Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah. With the longest match intro ever that I just walked outside during. I don't even remember I watched any of that match.
And then the year before that, he beat Sting, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah, what's he going to do? There's going to be like three UFC fighters come out and they're going to help Ronda Rousey and then he's just going to beat them all up.
Yeah. Maybe Jeff Jarrett comes out to help Kurt Angle make amends or help Triple H.
Triple J.
Probably what happens though, right? Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey win. Next night on Raw, Triple H, Stephanie, fire Kurt Angle, enter Jeff Jarrett.
You think Jeff Jarrett's going to be the new GM?
I've heard...
One of the two.
Not Raw proven.
Or SmackDown.
I'm about to say, I heard SmackDown was a...
SmackDown seems a little bit more SmackDown seems likely because Daniel Bryan becoming a competitor again, and then you can avoid the whole, we just replaced Kurt Angle with Jeff Jarrett.
We just pulled the Karen Jarrett.
If he does SmackDown for gold, if they like play off his actual Global Force gold thing.
Yeah, that'd be great. I want to see Dixie Carter come run one of the brands.
Oh my God.
That would be great. To me, maybe that only happens when you give EC3 a call up.
Can Jeff Jarrett wear his old white stripe thing that he used to wear with like the no shirt, the stripe?
Love that outfit.
I only want to see him if he fights Mongo McMichael for a spot in the Horseman.
Probably not happening.
God.
All right, so we already teased on it. Before we get to the championship matches, we'll talk about this rumored match. Not yet confirmed, as Justin wants us to point out. John Cena, Undertaker.
It's not that I don't want to point it out. It's just as of this recording, because I don't want to be like, oh, it's not yet confirmed, and then all of a sudden it gets confirmed.
We'll record. Don't worry, folks. We're also recording a moment in case that doesn't happen, or you just won't hear this.
It turns out John Cena stayed at home this WrestleMania.
No, he's a fan.
He's on the official poster, so somebody online said he's the only fan to make the official poster.
Yeah, how come Brock Lesnar guy doesn't get to be in there?
Frank the Clown.
Frank the Clown, there you go. When do the fans get their poster?
Where is Vlad the super fan from back in the day? He should have been on a poster.
John Cena, Undertaker. The Undertaker comes out to Kid Rock?
Guys, news update. Goldust has officially entered the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Oh, all right, we got to go back to that match and re-talk about it. This just changes the landscape.
Goldust swan song.
Kid Rock, the only way you could get me interested in watching the Undertaker wrestle one more time is Kid Rock does his introduction.
This is the statement I knew was coming. I was waiting for that.
I would care.
I was about to say that's something we need to talk about, the Hall of Fame this year, because your boy, Kid Rock, going in.
Yeah.
But he's not going.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I know you're not going,
but... We unfortunately have a comedy show that night. Hope to make some money.
I know you're not going, but still...
I might. Maybe I'll go, because he'll probably be one of the first people inducted. I can make it to both.
Yeah. Our show doesn't start till 9:30.
Yeah.
That thing starts at 6:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
he'll be booed out of the building by then.
Do them both.
I brought my fake gold chain just in case.
Excellent. Good. Did you bring your jersey?
I got my jersey.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be allowed to wear that
in a WWE event.
I'll probably wear that Saturday during the day.
Yeah.
I have not my white jersey. I have a black Kid Rock jersey too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not my classy one. I'm not wearing that to New Orleans.
Jesus. I don't think anybody has ever said.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Classy I have a Kid different Rock. Jersey, not the fuck off one. I have a new Kid Rock jersey as a basketball jersey, too.
Oh, a new black, black one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was talking about the.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, they would make me turn that inside out. Yeah.
You going shirt? No shirt underneath.
Yeah.
With that basketball jersey.
No shirt. No shirt. Oh, okay. Yeah.
For my reference, will you have any t-shirts of the day down there?
I have new shirts, but they're not t-shirts.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
How about a football jersey? Stone Cold Steve Austin football jersey.
Beautiful.
It's actually really nice. It's like the chalk line one from the late 90s.
Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty high quality. It was 50% off, so.
So do you think John Cena's winning or Undertaker?
What? What are we talking about again? Oh, yeah. Two of my least. Hey, let's just talk about my three least favorite wrestlers of all time consecutively.
Yep, that's pretty much what we're doing.
I don't care.
You still don't like Cena?
No.
No.
Nothing about him has changed or the way he's portrayed.
I enjoy John Cena in movies, actually. In his small limited roles, I like John Cena.
He's not my least favorite wrestler turned actor, but he's definitely my third least favorite wrestler, a guy who makes me literally want to fall asleep when he comes on the screen.
As of 34 seconds ago, up next, John Cena will make one more attempt to get an answer from The Undertaker about his WrestleMania challenge.
Well, we'll get back to that then. Who do you think wins this match?
Cena. I think they've kept Undertaker and Cena apart for a long time for a build up for to eventually do this match.
But John Cena doesn't need to win this match anymore. You know what I mean?
At this point, like, I think just happened.
Undertaker doesn't need to really win the match either.
He needs to go out on the W.
The only way I really will be into this match, Undertaker, Kid Rock comes out, plays American Badass, he rides his motorcycle to the ring. Then John Cena hops the barricade and Undertaker beats him up before he can get in the ring, like when the fans used to run in the ring back in the day. And it ends in 30 seconds. If he
comes out as a fan.
And then he gets dragged off by security.
What if Undertaker comes out to American Badass and, Michelle McCool comes out riding on the back of the motorcycle and Nikki Bella is a fan there for John Cena, and then we get Michelle McCool and Nikki Bella going at it? Then aren't we interested in this match?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you're adding more to, like, it making it more entertaining, but it's not like it's still something I don't want
to. Then it goes back to the whole thing just goes back to Ruthless Aggression era. We have Thugonomics John Cena, we have American Badass Undertaker, and then Nikki Bella and Michelle McCool are just, like, tearing each other's clothes off because you have to throw back to that's how women wrestled then.
They're divas then.
Going diva style. We're going back to 2005 WWE.
The only way I will actually pay attention to this match when I'm at WrestleMania is if Paul Bearer comes out.
Well, that's not
because then I'm like, whoa, something's going on here.
Paul Bearer's not even with American Badass.
Paul Bearer's been dead for 5 years. Let's not argue about the character choices.
Again, I just want to. I want Big Show to come out as a distraction with his Harley on his drops it down.
Let's just go all the way
wearing his snake tie, and that distracts the Undertaker. Like, whoa, we finally made it back from the desert. I left you with no gas. And then John Cena hits the AA off of that.
Forget Michelle McCool in the back of his motorcycle. I want him to be dragging Big Show's dad's coffin with him riding on the back, Boss Man style. Then I would stand up and be like, all right, you've earned this. This is awesome. This is awesome.
He's still got it. You still got it.
For the record, ever since we started talking about this match, Chris's vocals have been popping more.
I'm getting fed up with this WWE bullshit.
This is the most excited he's been despite not being interested in this match.
Because I have nothing respectful to say. I feel fine trashing this. This is going to be... The match itself will be 4 boring minutes, and the introductions will be the longest 45 minutes of my life.
Thanks, WWE, for giving us this match we've all wanted to see for 15 years, while both these men are on their way out.
Why don't they give us permanent neck injury Sting versus The Undertaker that fell over while trying to give Roman Reigns the tombstone from last year, if they really want us to be
perfect
sports entertained?
That's what I want.
I was actually going to bring that whole fact up, because everybody still wants to see that match. And I'm like, no, they're both old. It'd be sad.
It'd be like when Ric Flair had to fight Dustin Rhodes in 2001 because Dusty couldn't really wrestle, and then he just wears the cutoff flannel shirt and gives him an elbow. Like, he did that right before he died, too. Like, what else is there? There's no substitute for The Undertaker or Sting. They're not going to have a younger guy fight for him and then do a spot at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I finally watched that match from last year back, and it looked fine, but in person, boy, The Undertaker did not look good. Got any more announcements on there, Justin?
John Cena's in the ring, that's all I got.
Okay.
There's well, a gift too, but
I don't know who wins this match. Quite frankly, I don't think I give a shit at this point because it does nothing for either one of these men's careers. The Undertaker has now lost twice at WrestleMania, so it's not like the streak is really at stake.
Three strikes, you're out.
Three strikes, you're out. There it is. If The Undertaker gets strike three, he is out of WrestleMania forever, so he might need to win this match.
Because I don't know what you bring him back for after this.
I don't know what you bring him back for now.
And also, well, maybe one... Well, having this match being put off for so long, they're at least doing... If that's a possibility, that's something. And then also, yeah, he... I think retired the dead man, maybe one more American Badass,
I guess.
He rides off into the sunset, no pun intended.
I guess, but at some point you've got to let dream matches remain dream matches, because when you make them like this and guys can't go, I mean, look at Sting fighting for WCW's honor against Triple H, but he couldn't really fully go,
but that
and
wasn't,
they ruin it, and you throw everybody, I know Sting
that
Triple
wasn't
H
the
wasn't
match
a dream
until
match,
that day. It right. wasn't Sting fighting for WCW's honor until the match got halfway through. The promo itself was talking about Sting taking down the Authority, and then halfway through
the whole
match,
thing gets ruined.
That's another thing. Besides Sting losing, they totally bastardized the entire storyline just so Triple H could have a valid reason to say why he should win.
I mean, not every dream match is going to be The Rock and Hulk Hogan, or even The Rock and Cena was a solid match. So,
but those feel guys like are when WWE doesn't do the dream matches, they get ridiculed for it. They didn't do Flair versus Hogan.
Well,
imagine what that would have been like at WrestleMania.
Would have been terrible.
Well, it's Flair versus Hogan in WCW is pretty good.
Right. But by the time Hogan came back to...
No.
Oh, you'd be the first
8.
Time around.
Yeah.
It was supposed...
Oh, yeah,
it was
that would have been fantastic.
I mean, that was the big build of, oh, well, your championship is just freaking horse manure. This
they
is
used the Ric Flair not drawing in, like, Northeast United States and house shows as a reason not to do it. Like, that was mattered anything to the national audience, what the
right.
crowd in Maine thought
yeah,
about
that
Ric Flair.
Yeah, that would have been incredible then.
Because, I mean, it set records when they did that Bash at the Beach, so...
But,
yeah, and instead of that match, we got...
Sid.
Flair and Macho and Hogan
pretty
and
great,
Sid.
But
yeah.
Hogan and
Flair,
Sid.
Yeah, Hogan and
Flair and Macho Man was still good.
Hogan and Sid, they had to edit the Royal Rumble for people booing Hogan when they showed the highlight video.
But, you know, down the road when you get Flair and Shawn Michaels, everybody remembers that because, yep, it puts Flair into retirement, but it's not like he could really go there.
You're not wrong, but Ric Flair in that match was still probably 25 times better than what Undertaker will be this Sunday.
Yeah, agreed.
Which is why it's another reason why it's so pointless. Let's talk about the dream match.
So then let's go into the dream match, the real dream match that is happening, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. Best match on the card?
If it's not, then there's been something terribly wrong.
Somebody really screwed them over.
Yeah.
In trying to agent this match.
I would agree.
There's no reason why this should not tear the house down. I've heard some rumors. JR was just on CBS radio last night. I was listening to it on Westwood One, since he's podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And he talking about it, and they were asking him what should be the main event, what should be last, and he was saying Undertaker and John Cena have earned going last. But on the other hand, what do you do? He said nobody's following AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. For that argument, though, maybe you put them on first just because that way 5 hours from then, somebody can actually follow it. I put them on last just because how the hell do you follow that? I know you want The Undertaker to ride off into the sunset. It makes sense for them to go last, but...
I think they're going last. I think Cena Taker's last.
I think if Cena Taker's last...
It's a 10-minute match.
Like checked. No, it'd be one thing for this match not to be last, but for something that you know is going to be awful to be last, I don't know.
I get it. The time they put in,
I'm
they
not
do,
saying
they did earn
the
to be last.
Stars.
For sure. But this is going to be your best match. I don't even know who wins it.
Nakamura? You got to have Nakamura.
It's his
win.
Time now.
AJ Styles has shown he can lose, do whatever, and he's still gonna stay over. Nakamura is in a very tenuous spot with the way WWE is, so if he doesn't win, I think long term it's a mistake. But that said, who knows?
I think this match is early in the show.
Early
mm-hmm. because of that, you can't follow them?
Because, well, I think just because of being so good, it's like it'll start, possibly start off the main card.
Yeah.
As in like, everybody boom, let's start off with a boom. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know where it's going to be, but if Nakamura loses, it's going to be worse than when he lost to Jinder Mahal, because that really hurt his momentum with people, with just the reactions you would see on the shows.
Yeah.
And if he loses now, it'll pretty much cement him as a guy who's, they have no interest in making a title holder.
Plus, you have him win, and this feud can take you to SummerSlam easily.
So I would say have him win, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm thinking Nakamura.
And the way the build's been, so not even like really them doing stuff to each other, but like
I liked last week.
Yeah, but I'm saying like there's not like a thing where it's like tonight Stephanie, I guess, put Ronda Rousey through a table and all that stuff. There's no like clear who's got the real
right.
Yeah,
yeah. I enjoyed Shinsuke starting to play these mind games with AJ Styles.
But I was gonna say it's a mind games type build. It's not like the typical, not a physical thing. One guy does this one week, the next guy does this.
Well, that's then. Leaving your, as you mentioned earlier, about you got to leave. You don't want to see that same thing every single weekend. Yeah. This is one place where they actually did do a good job of that, because you don't want to see the whole thing.
And 3 weeks ago, people said it was boring, but it's like the only one where it's actually still interesting, in my opinion.
Because now you're like, I don't really know how this is going to go. Oh, yeah. Who you got there, Justin?
Nakamura.
Final match of the evening, as far as we know.
And it could also be a main event match, too.
This could be less,
Yeah. What you're saying. Roman Reigns taking on the champion, Brock Lesnar. Basically a repeat from 31.
Minus but then
Seth Rollins enters with the
if they don't like it briefcase. The first time, just WWE.
I actually liked it the first time.
The first time was great.
It was a really good match, even before Seth Rollins interjected himself into it. I was like, holy shit.
I'm not
Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. This is good stuff.
Lack of support isn't because he's a bad wrestler.
Yeah, it's because they do terrible things with him.
Fitting that square peg in a round hole instead of just letting him be himself. Like, they want to replicate John Cena. Roman Reigns has that badass aura, but they don't do that. They do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's not John Cena. He's a different kind of guy. Let him be a different kind of guy.
And I know, without talking all the way, people on the internet, controversy and when they don't like him or whatever, there is a reason why when he was this silent badass, he was getting super over.
Yeah. Everybody seems to forget that they loved him when he was in the Shield. Like, nope, you all did. You all were on the Roman train.
They've become so homogenized with what their idea of what, like, their main baby face should be hurts them to a detriment, because Bruce Samart, they've had always their big baby face champion in the WWF to now, but Bruno Sammartino is nothing like Hulk Hogan, who is nothing like Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is nothing like John Cena. So what's the problem?
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's how I've always felt about it.
Problem is the internet.
It's not the internet. The problem is them refusing to book him to his strengths.
It's because the internet thinks like, oh, that's who they want us to like, which hasn't it always been, no matter what, they're going to push who they want?
Yes. Yeah. You're looking at it from a very base. The internet's the symptom. That's not the problem. The problem is if they just presented him in a way that he actually, the way his charisma is and presented as such, people wouldn't care that he's being forced down their throats or whatever. People got behind, like I'm saying, Bruno Sammartino's character is nothing like Hulk Hogan's character, but they both were huge drawing guys for them for a decade. Stone Cold's reign was less, but it's been a huge draw. John Cena's been a huge draw. The problem is Roman Reigns shouldn't even be cutting promos, in my opinion, for the most part. He should be like closer to a Goldberg than he is to John Cena. He has a badass aura to me, and I think people on the internet would be accepting of him without even realizing it. They might not think this, but if they present him in a way that fit his strengths, they wouldn't even realize it, because they'd be booking, like, this guy's awesome.
They're booking Braun Strowman the way they should have started booking Roman Reigns from the very beginning.
That's what I agree. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. It's like they did Roman Reigns, and then Braun Strowman comes around and like, hey, you know what? We should do with him what we were going to do with Roman. Like, you know, we screwed that one up. Let's do it right here.
And I get what you're saying about people on the internet hating the chosen one, and that's true, but it wouldn't seem forced if he was the same guy he was in the Shield.
Oh, if you don't think that Braun Strowman is a chosen one right now, internet world, you're mistaken. It's they're booking him correctly. I mean, people forget too that, like, while they all wanted Daniel Bryan to do that, well, the WWE had to go with and create the Yes Movement. You know what I mean? So they still fed that to you how you wanted it.
I wouldn't necessarily go full on board with that, but I would say I understand why they were hesitant to make him the huge number one guy.
Yeah.
Because, look, he hasn't wrestled because of all his injuries for that long. So maybe they weren't wrong on holding him back till they had to. But so you're right. Yeah. They did help him get over. Yeah.
Roman Reigns wins to a chorus of boos. Is that what we're saying here?
If it's the last match, I don't think it's a booze. I don't think people even care at that point.
He'll get booed, even if it's the last match.
Love to boo him.
Look at last year.
Yeah, but
if it wasn't for the Undertaker moment, it would have ended with a chorus of boos. Because I know everybody around me was just booing. I was laughing at him, but they were booing.
Because Lesnar, supposedly, going back to UFC one more time, that's always been a rumor.
Yeah.
Maybe this is when it happens.
I think at this point, it might be a great match, but... They really just the angle of Roman being like the guy who's like on the fan side, like Brock doesn't show up. Well, guess what, man? If you were a draw like that and had a chance to negotiate a contract with it, why wouldn't you do it? That's not a reason for me to hate a character.
Yeah. So then we go, and that pretty much wraps up the WrestleMania with the predictions. Any outcasted things? Any wild card things? I have one that I just thought of because I was going to ask you guys a question, but I didn't want to ruin my wild card moment.
I don't have a wild card prediction except for Samoa Joe
showing up somewhere.
Shows up somewhere.
Yeah, I would agree. He's got to make his comeback somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Mine, that's kind of what you said earlier about Shayna being in the women's battle royal.
Yeah. So earlier I said Asuka Charlotte is going to be one of the better matches on the entire card, right? And we all said yes. And this led me to thinking about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 31. I thought it was a great match as was happening. And then Seth Rollins cashes in. And I'm wondering, is there anybody to cash in a briefcase? Here comes Carmella.
Oh, yeah.
Cashing in, pinning Charlotte so Asuka stays undefeated. And she becomes your new SmackDown Women's Champion.
I feel like putting her in that mix with them at this point would be a bad idea.
You could put Asuka back on Raw, though, then. She doesn't have to stay on SmackDown if she doesn't win that championship.
What if she comes in and cashes in on Asuka?
And Asuka loses to her? No. They're not going to
have
her.
But then again.
They're not going to have her first loss be that.
Yeah, but they've protected her so much. There's no way in hell they would do that.
Yeah.
But do you have Asuka win twice?
You could have Asuka win twice.
Yeah, for sure. She could cash in and beat her.
Or you could be protecting Charlotte and Carmella cashes in. That makes it a triple threat match, just like Seth Rollins did, and Asuka beats Carmella for the women's title.
Yeah, there's a lot of angles.
There's a lot of angles there. I think Carmella cashes in WrestleMania.
It would be interesting. I doubt they would do this, but...
Big Cass comes in too?
No, before the match starts, you have...
Enzo comes in, gives her drugs? He's not with Carmella anymore?
Okay. Not with Liv Morgan anymore.
Big Cass moved
up. But I mean, he's not like in the squad.
Oh, does...
Yeah, Big Cass also not with...
Is Big Cass with...
With Carmella, no.
Is Big Cass with Braun?
I hope not.
Oh, God. I hope not, too.
But no,
somebody who's had an ACL injury, regardless of how well you rehab it, it would still be pretty fast for him. Of course, he could also just walk in, give somebody a big boot, and walk out. So forget what I just said.
Okay.
It's not like he's going to be a guy in there working for 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
But the idea that I was thinking of is, what if Charlotte comes out first, and that's when Carmella cashes in?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Like, she beats her up and then does it. I feel like that would just make... There's good way to make people mad, I think. And there's a bad way to make people mad. That wouldn't get her like heel heat. That would just make people pissed off that they wasted their time promoting this match between Asuka and Charlotte. It'd be one thing if Carmella was... She's a great character, but it'd be one thing if she was like somebody people were excited to see wrestle, but they're not. So it would totally ruin the fact that they've promoted this. That
there you go. Well, those are our fun predictions.
Well, the last update.
There it is.
Of the Cena segment, not confirmed.
Oh, man.
Undertaker did not come out. Though, I would say I wonder if they're waiting until the end of the show to have another thing, but I don't know.
I want to see John Cena like Scott Hall when he was on Nitro and hold up his ticket to the camera. Like, I'm allowed to be sitting here in the front row. We're here with big fan John Cena. I love WrestleMania,
he's
guys.
Not Big Match John. He's Big Fan John.
The only person that would wear that neon green purple John Cena outfit in the front row of WrestleMania would be John Cena.
He's got his own foam finger and everything.
It said, according to the WWE Twitter, he said, "It's obvious you left your hat in the ring, but it's clear to everybody here you left your balls at home."
Oh, man. Did he rap?
He also supposedly put over every match at WrestleMania.
course he did.
Because he's a super fan now. He's John Cena. He's down there, like you said, Brock Lesnar guy, Frank the Clown, John Cena.
He's probably WWE backstage doing fan. What we're doing right now.
He's like, guys, who do you think is going to win between Asuka and Charlotte? Isn't that crazy? Oh. Don't forget, Carmella's got the briefcase.
It's my phone. Big fan John right here. Yeah, you wanted to weigh in?
Yo, Steve, let me be real.
I watched back WrestleMania 21, maybe? Or maybe it was WrestleMania 20. It might have been where it all begins again. He wrestles Big Show for the U.S. 20, title.
Yeah.
And
because he wrestles with a chain on, if I remember.
This is when he's terrible with his rapping. And I'm like, wow, that John Cena? Not going to say what 2008, like 2018 John Cena, not saying that. At some point, he goes, Big Show, I got an itch to beat him like a penis with an STD.
Like, that is what his rap, like, I want that John Cena promote it like, yo, Undertaker, you think you keep it real with balls of steel, but they're soft.
They call you Big Red Boogie, I'm gonna pick you and flick you.
I don't know why he got such hype for his rapping back then, because you watch him back now and it's just like a guy.
More slam poetry than anything.
It's just a guy talking very deliberately. Not necessarily rhyming or with any sort of flow.
Let me throw this out there. It was body slam poetry.
Oh.
This is awesome. I can't do it fast enough.
This is awesome. This is awesome. This is awesome. John Cena coming up next on the open mic night. Doctor of Thugonomics, John Cena.
That's good. That's
but nobody
good.
Would be snapping for that. They'd be like, why do you have to say that?
Yeah. Well, that's probably a good ending point, huh? It's not going to get any higher than body slam poetry with the Doctor of Thugonomics.
I want to say one more time, that also would get me interested in the match.
John Cena rapping?
If the genius came out with his poems and John Cena and him started doing poems with each other. And then the Undertaker could just rip up their little sheets.
Come on,
Lanny. The whole match.
Yeah, perfect. Anything else anybody want to add?
Nah, I think that's pretty much it for me.
Undertaker, you think you're slick, but I'm here with the genius who could suck his own dick. Word life.
Word life.
Because he also did just like one line and then it would take like 15 seconds before he said it.
Yeah, as if he was thinking it through. It's probably written on his
wrist. That's how he freestyles.
Right.
Can you really shoot me?
It's really easy to freestyle if you have a crowd mic and no beat.
Yeah, it's great. Well, I think we'll end it on body slam poetry. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this WrestleMania roundtable. WrestleMania preview roundtable?
Yes.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's fun.
We're not reviewing it, definitely, so.
Well, Justin, Chris, I had a great time. Let's do this again in 4 years, not post it, and then do this again in 5 years. Where we post it.
Where it all gets posted again.
We'll do it live from Madison Square Garden.
Oh, what's
or live from the Funny Stop?
MSG.
WrestleMania 35 preview roundtable. Where it all gets posted again.
I was hoping to just do it live from Mount Carmel.
Yeah, sure. We'll just rent it from the priest.
No, I just figure we just break in, do it for like an hour, and leave. Like they don't have to know.
I cannot condone people breaking in. Fans, please make sure you show up no sooner than 5 p.m. on show days. Thank you.
Is that something that happens now?
Yeah, we have to make sure we say that.
Hey, if you fans need someplace to go, this Friday night in New Orleans at the Always Lounge.
Always Lounge and Cabaret in beautiful New Orleans. Come see An Evening with Swoggle, a comedy event. That'll be great. I'll be there. Chris Clem will be there. We'll be slinging some jokes. A man formerly known as Hornswoggle will be there telling some jokes and telling some fun stories. He's got a Big Match John story.
Nice.
That's very fun. I really enjoy it.
Big fan John?
Big fan John. Yeah, he was not Big Fan John at that time. But, you know, now that he is a fan, well, he's probably got tickets to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, maybe he'll be there. But
he is the official WWE super fan. The only one they let cut promos.
He's obviously going to be at the Rock Hall.
The Rock.
Hey, that's coming up as well next weekend. He's obviously going to be at the WWE Hall of Fame. He's obviously going to be at NXT, right? Because he's a super fan.
Yeah.
And then he'll be at WrestleMania.
How upset do you think Vlad the super fan from back in the day that was at all the shows is mad that he's not the first fan that gets to cut promos?
Probably pretty pissed.
He probably spent $300,000 on WWE tickets in flights and all that.
What about do you think that how many access sessions do you think Big Fan John goes to?
He's gonna be there all day Saturday. He's not even going to have time to shower from when he leaves Access to go to NXT, and he's going to have to carry his merch bags with him. So he's going to be that guy with like five bags on his lap.
Who do you think he likes the most in NXT?
Johnny Gargano.
Yeah? I was going to say Lars.
Oh.
I was going to say Gargano. Just John.
He's just most likable.
Well, yeah, I agree. But because his name is John, that probably works out for him. Keeps it easy.
Yeah.
Probably a big fan of Nikki Cross, too. Well, hopefully you guys had as much fun with this as we did.
Well, he's older, so maybe he's the biggest fan of Paul Ellering.
It could be. Loves those Authors of Pain. Authors of Pain! I'm the Doctor of Thugonomics! You guys are the size of elephants? I do the voice of an elephant. Pistachio.
Go see my new movie, Cock Blockers.
Just blockers.
I forgot. Yeah,
from the makers of Zack and Miri. Making a joke because they took off porn, make a porno.
I gotcha. You're right.
I probably will go see that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
He's funny and stuff, dude.
I need movies to go see before.
Cracked me up at Daddy's Home, too.
He is funny, but I'm a big fan of Ike Barinholtz.
Who's that?
He's one of the fathers in the movie.
Oh, he's the guy. He was in Neighbors.
Yeah.
He's funny.
In the Mindy Project, right. Mad TV.
Yeah, he's very funny. Yeah, John Cena was good. And Danny's Home, too. I liked him in Trainwreck.
Well, he's great in Trainwreck.
Yeah. None of this has anything to do with WrestleMania now.
Yeah, I think at this point we just go with Big Fan John, and we'll see you guys in New Orleans.
Yep.
I won't.
Well, or not Justin.
Justin and Chris. This is Steve Guy signing off. So long, everybody.
I'm going down to New Orleans to see about a friend of mine. And